Good evening. This is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. My name is Jeff. This net is held every evening at 9 p.m. on the Boomer Lamps Radio Club repeater on frequency 146.655 MHz. The repeater is located 2.5 miles southwest of Boomer on Jackson Hill. This is an informal net. All interested parties are welcome to check in with or without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times, can break in at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? The next Boomer Amateur Radio Club regular monthly meeting will be on Tuesday, March 18th at 7 o'clock at the Dodge Pratt Northern Martin Community Center at 106 Keller Street in Boonville. Anybody who is interested is welcome to attend. If you feel like picking up a net once a week or twice a week, please give somebody here in the club a shout, and we can definitely hook you up with that. Should you be listening one night and nobody picks up the net, and it's a couple minutes after, feel free to pick it up yourself and run it yourself. All right, are there any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations wishing to check in? This is KD2AIT, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. I'll now take calls from regular members and guests.
KA2ZZ, hi, Jeff.
KA2VLA.
KC2NBU.
Okay, we got three, so we'll start at the top. KA2ZZ, Jack, good evening, what's up?
Well, nothing too special again. We did go to breakfast again this morning, the wife and I. We always do, we try to do it every day to get out. Now we don't if it's sort of snow out there, but otherwise it gets us out of the house and gets us moving. And I didn't get a high temperature reading today. All I can tell you is right now we're at 36.7. It was a partly cloudy day. We had quite a bit of sunshine, but it was quite cloudy in between. So we're still talking about that storm moving in. I see now we're under a weather advisory here in where I am, with a potential of 8 to 10 inches. And, oh well. It's still winter time. Well, it's still coming, that's for sure. 7 feet all around, KA2ZZ.
Well, I'm holding out hope that it'll miss us. Well, we'll have to see. They're making progress on the melt here. I hear it slide off the roof every once in a while. I was hoping it would continue. But we'll have to see. They still say a lot of that's in flux right now, so we'll have to just wait and find out what happens. All right, Jack. Thanks for checking in. You have a good evening. We'll catch up with you later. KA2VLA, Clint, good evening. What's up?
KD2AIT, good evening, Jeff. This is KD2VLA. Well, I got nothing special now. And I've been changing my deck. The doctor's been changing my medicine around, trying to get better results from it. I guess it's working. Betty and I took a trip yesterday up to near Lowellville and swung over into Back of Lions Falls and Brandyham Lake. And I was amazed at the amount of snow was left up there in the woods. They really got plastered more than we realized. Everyone said they got getting it heavy, but they really got piles of it. There goes our fire siren. So I better turn on this scanner. So that's about all I knew. We'll say 73. KA2VLA is clear.
All right, Clint, yeah, that siren's been busy today. So, all right. Well, thanks, Clint. Thanks for checking in. You guys have a good evening, and we'll catch up with you later. KC2MBU, Ray, good evening. What's up?
Now we got 34 degrees up on the hill. Our phones were out most all day. Cell phones, AT&T cell phones were out since last night, and they cell phones finally came back. We could call Boonville, we could call Lowellville, but we couldn't call Houston or Rome. It was, get a recording saying all circuits were busy. So it was a difficult day doing business. I just got out of the shop. The furnace died out in the shop. I had that all apart. And it wouldn't reset after I cleaned the burner and put it all back together again. So I, you just hold the little red button. Well, I went online and researched the Beckett burner with this burner. Apparently you have to hold the button for 45 seconds. Nowhere on the furnace does it say that. But held it for 45 seconds, it took right off. So, knowing that we have some 0-degree weather coming up in a couple of nights, it's good to have the furnace running. Over.
Yeah, everybody had that same issue. We had contacted Frontier about it. They said that there was a line somewhere that had been cut, and they didn't know where it was. And apparently that same line must have fed a cell phone tower around here. Depending on which tower you were hitting, it depended on if you got service or not. So, yeah, that was kind of a pain all day today. And but it seems to have gotten resolved for the most part. I know they robo-called us here and said that, you know, this has been resolved. Let us know if you have any issues. But I know not for you, because you need the phone for business. But for me, it was kind of nice. The house was nice and quiet today for a little while. But, all right, Ray. Well, thanks for checking in. Good luck. Hopefully you stay warm that night, and we'll catch up with you later. This is KD2AIT, Net Control for the Black River Valley Service Net, looking for check-ins.
Good evening, Jeff, N5AOW.
Good evening, Bill, N5AOW. What's going on tonight?
No, not a whole lot. Took a trip today, went down to Johnson City to pick something up I purchased on eBay, and turned out to be a pretty decent trip. Started out wet this morning, but it dried up as we went along, light snow at spots, and then it disappeared, so it worked out quite well. Temperature wasn't bad either. 34 here now. I couldn't really say what it came up to this afternoon not being here, but I would imagine it probably warmed up 2 or 3 degrees more. Anyway, yeah, things went in general pretty good today. But I was glad to get home. You know, by the time I went down there and back, that's 6 hours of driving, and that's enough for me. Getting too old for that stuff. KD2AIT N5AOW back.
Okay, Bill. I'm glad you had a good trip, and wasn't a bad day for it, like you said. It was nice, and you know, compared to what we've had, it's been nice. It was pretty warm today. I stepped out there for a while and soaked some of it in, but I'm glad you had a good drive, and you're all taken care of. I hope you got a good deal there on eBay, whatever it was. And thanks for checking in. We'll catch up with you later. Are there any other check-ins for the Black River Valley Service Net?
KC2WI.
KC2WI, Pete, good evening. We had you there last night, and then you never came back, so I'm assuming you must have got a phone call or something. What's going on?
Is this KC2WI? No, for some reason the radio jumped over to the another memory. I don't know why, because the radio doesn't have an up-down microphone. It's not the original microphone, so there's no button I could have pushed to make it do that on the microphone. But all of a sudden when I got done, I looked over and realized I was on 955, and I came back over and Ray was still there, but it's a real mystery. So anyway, the answer to the question was, yeah, I went, did a little snowmobiling on Sunday, not that much. I screwed up on Saturday and got sidetracked on other things instead of getting the computer done that I could have got done and had the guy come over. So then I had to wait for him on Sunday at noon. And instead of getting out early and taking a big ride somewhere, which would have been nice because it was really nice out. And Saturday I was going to go out, but it wasn't that nice here. But apparently, outside of this area, it was a beautiful sunny day. My father said it was beautiful up in Lake Pleasant, and some of the guys on the 75 meters there Sunday morning on the North Country group were saying, oh, yesterday was a beautiful day, and I was saying, what? What do you mean? It was kind of crummy and dismal and, you know, not cold, but very strange. So I don't know why that happened. I've got a Radio Shack microphone I put on there when I got the thing, and I modified it at some point with a little push button sticking, you know, just wired into the connector, so I can push it and make it scan, but it's not on the microphone. It, you know, I mean, you have to purposely go over and push that thing, so I don't really know.
Well, it happens. Maybe there's something loose in there in the, I don't know. You get into that stuff a little bit out of my expertise. I have been looking, maybe you can have some suggestions here. I'm looking to put up a cell phone repeater up at camp there, you know, a professional one. I've been looking at some of these ones they have here. One place is called therepeaterstore.com, and I've been browsing some of the Wilson ones they have on Amazon. Ideally, I want it to be able to amplify 4G signals, too, because you can get 4G up there from time to time when you're just walking around in the woods there with your cell phone, so somehow you can hit it. And anyway, you got any suggestions of what I should look for there? I mean, I'm thinking I'm probably going to have to get a Yagi antenna of some kind and get up there and you know, direct it towards a tower somewhere, but I'm just starting to do a little research on it, and you know, some of this stuff is kind of expensive, so I want to get it right the first time.
Yeah, I know a few people who have done it over the years, but I've never personally. And, you know, in the good old days, I had a cell phone, even my, I think it was the previous one to this little Nokia track phone, and it had a antenna connector, a little SMC or, you know, not SMA, I think maybe it was SMC, a real little tiny coaxial connector. You could actually connect an external antenna to it, and that'd probably be all you need, you know, with some good high quality feed line, and Yagi would figure out what the right direction is to the, you know, best line of sight cell tower. But, you know, your no cell phones, people don't know what antennas are on cell phones. They just think this, they think it's a magic box. They don't realize it's a radio. So, you know, I have somewhere a little cradle that you set the phone in, and it's sort of a, you know, it couples, and then you can put an external antenna on it. And, you know, if you could make that work, and then there's also passive repeater, which is basically an antenna up high, you know, and coax down to an antenna right by where your phone is. And those work, too. You know, a lot less than several hundred dollars for one of those amplifiers. It might be something to try if you get the Yagi and you get some good, really high quality feed line. Now, obviously, you don't want to use RG58 or anything like that. You want to use really high quality stuff because it's 900 megahertz. And then either one of those little coupling cradles or just a local antenna, and then if that doesn't work, then go with the repeater. But I think that's really what the repeaters usually do. They usually have two antennas, one, you know, one up high and then one on the other side, that because you don't actually hook the phone up to them. So you could probably get, you know, yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not sure I understand it, because it seems like cell phone is a cell phone is a cell phone, and there's a band of frequencies, and as far as I know, there's still 900 megahertz. You know, it's, as I recall, 9, 930 and 960 or 960 and 990, I don't remember. And whether it's 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, or no G, it's voice or data, as far as I know, it's all the same frequencies, and doesn't matter whose company it is. But it might be the bandwidth of the amplifier or something where, you know, the data is wider band or something, I think, maybe, but that's only, I don't know, I'd have to research it myself. And that's what I was thinking. They're usually, you don't see anything for much under about $300, but I don't know, I can't answer that. I guess that I'd have to research it myself. But I don't understand, you know, RF is RF, and the only reason why the passive repeater works on voice and not 4G is because you can drop, you know, maybe you can drop enough packets and voice it, just the voice is maybe actually not as high speed as the data, and you know, you lose too much. That's the only thing I can think of. It just seems to me that either you have a signal or you don't. The 4G, you know, it's just like the internet, you know. Depends on how fast you want your wireless to be, how good of a signal you need. But it's still the same frequency, so I'm not sure I know exactly why either.
Okay, well, I just sent you an email with the three links that I'm looking at. Two of them were on Amazon there, and one of them was from that repeater store. You get time, take a look, tell me what you think. Some of it's a little technical on the radio end, more than I know. And see if you have any thoughts on it. It's really, you know, I don't mind spending, you know, $600-$700 on the system, you know, if it's going to work. And, you know, most of these have a 30-day window. You got to try it out, make sure it works. So I'd like to get it just right the first time. And, you know, if it works, that would be a real great thing for me. You know, me and the boys always want to go up there more often. And, you know, so do I. But, I mean, you know, you got to work. But if I could just work from up there for, you know, especially during a sunny week when you got plenty of solar power, that would work out. That would work out nice. So anyway, all right, well, let me know what you think. I'm going to continue here with the net. All right, this is KD2AIT. Are there any other check-ins for the Black River Valley Service Net?
KD2AIT, November 2, Lima, Bravo, Tango.
The N2LBT, that is Dennis. Good evening. What's going on? That took a while. You haven't been on here in a bit. What's going on tonight?
Just checking in. Happened to be driving through Boonville proper anyway, but I'm out and about in this beautiful weather. Storm before the storm, I guess. Visibility is actually a little low, and Little Silver Road's a little bumpy, but we're here. And I did have a little comment additional on your previous query there, when you get a chance.
Roger. Okay, yeah, you just probably drove past my QTH. I'm right on the other side of New Server Road. But, yeah, go ahead. What's your comment?
Comment is about the cell booster there, and I didn't catch the first part, but I'm assuming you're going trying to get a signal out pretty far. I've done a couple of them, and had a commercial one that got put in by AT&T at my business a couple years ago. Pulled it out, and actually still happens to be in a box. But to comment a little further on the frequencies, there actually is four or five separate bands now in the U.S. for BCS and data, so it's not just 800 anymore. You've got 800, 1700, 1900, 2100, and so they're all different, and got to get the right one for the right tower. So depending on where you're headed, you want to get the right band. And then the bandwidth on these things are about 20 megs. So that's why they're asking for a carrier, too. So it's a good idea to check out which tower you're pointing at, which one has the best signal, and then actually put your phone in field test so you get the you got the frequency pair that that tower's using. Make sure you got the right bandwidth for it. And once you get enough signal, you'll get the maximum what's available on that tower. What location are you trying to do it from?
This will be up in the, well, it's the town of Ohio. It's right up there in Forestport, you know, north of Forestport. Well, no, that wouldn't be north. That would be east of Forestport up on the North Lake Road. You know, between North Lake and, you know, the old radar tower site there on North Lake Road.
Yeah, I generally know that, but I'm not sure what's, which tower it is. So you got to do a little field research there ahead of time. You do want to make the right choice on that BDA. They're called bidirectional amplifiers. You're going to go active, and I have they used a pair of them actually, both on 800 and 1900 for our business, and they ran enough power so they actually ran into a splitter, and there's two inside antennas, but you can get away with usually one for a camp, obviously. If you want kind of a passive setup, or you can actually set it up with a, you can put a pad in there, depending on the power of the amplifier. You can pad it down and then run it directly onto an air card or a phone if it's got an antenna jack or even a capacitive cradle, which is what I did. I do in the car, actually. I've got a passive capacitive cradle that the iPhone sits in, and I drive around in 4G most of the time when nobody can even make a phone call. So they work, you just have to set it up right. Didn't mean to grab the whole thing, but sorry, throw my 2 cents in because I've played. The company that BDA is made by is called CSI, and I'm not sure you'll find it on all the consumer sites, but if you go to a place like Tesco, you can still order them. I believe they're legal to order.
Roger, how do you do your research on the tower? Is there an app or something you recommend?
Well, you can do a couple things. I just happened to be lucky, and I had a guy on the inside that was kind of nice and friendly to the tech end, and he just told me the guy to call. He told me where the tower was, went to the tower, and just put the phone in what they call field test mode. Almost every phone has it nowadays, especially if you have a smartphone. And you'll actually get a frequency readout or a channel, more like a channel number. And so they'll give you the channel number that you are on, and then you'll just use a lookup table, and it'll tell you what band and what frequency it is.
All right, Dennis, thanks. That's some helpful information. I'll have to tinker around with that the next time I get up there, and, you know, right now I'm kind of waiting for all the snow to melt before I make another adventure up in there. That could be a while. But, all right, well, thanks. I appreciate that, and you have a safe trip there tonight. It's probably going to be a little foggy, I would imagine, and we'll catch up with you later. Long time no see. It was good to hear from you. All right, this is KD2AIT. Are there any other check-ins? Well, for myself, it's another work night. I got to work late, so that's what I got to do. And nothing else really to report. Had a good weekend, and ready to work through the rest of the week. All right, are there any comments, queries, or late check-ins? And this will be the final call for the Black River Valley Service Net. Comments, queries, or late check-ins? Okay, hearing none, I'll now close the Black River Valley Service Net. Return the frequency of regular amateur use. I thank Jack, Clint, Ray, Bill, Pete, and Dennis for checking in, and thanks to Dennis and Pete for your extra info on that. That comes in handy, and hopefully after we get the tower up there, we can strap on an antenna up there and you know, enjoy a little more time up at the camp. All right, this is KD2AIT. We'll be clear and out.
KC2WI and 2LBT, still there?
N12BT, KC2WI.
Hey, Pete. I just want to say thanks for, I think you do keep the website up to date, the NIRA site. Appreciate that. And I got an email coming for real soon here about Black Fly Challenge. Can't believe I'm driving in a snowstorm, got 18 inches gone the way, and I'm talking about mountain biking through the plains, but time to start talking.
Right. Yeah, well, we have some good late winter left this year for sure, more like the good old days. But yeah, I think it might be, well, who knows what it's going to be by then, you know, but it might be a fairly late thaw, and it might actually be kind of, you know, muddier conditions and stuff, but we'll, you'll never know. But we're looking forward to it anyway. I'm going to decide whether or not I'm going down to the ARRL's Atlantic Division meeting in, at the end of the month, and I kind of like to go, but Tom asked me if I wanted to go instead of him as the section emergency coordinator. I could go, and ARRL will reimburse me for some expenses, but boy, I hate to give up the last, the end of the month is this year I think is going to be good late winter conditions, so I got to decide real quick, but I think it's not going to be like the last couple of years. Things may not be dried out by, you know, it back there by that time, by June. Last couple of years, we didn't have a ton of snow, and things weren't that heavily frozen, and, you know, by June, things were pretty good, but that might not be the case this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's only, unfortunately, it's a mile down the road to get to the plains from my house, but, you know, this looks like I picture myself going for a ride in a snowmobile in the middle of April.
Well, yeah, I've done that, and, not for a few years, but that was kind of, I mean, I've ridden a snowmobile with a t-shirt, you know, and 60, 70 degrees back in 2007 down on Cowley Road and a couple other places, Perkins Clearing, and, you know, pretty much, you know, it's almost like you'd be riding a motorcycle or something in that kind of temperatures. That's not going to be, I don't think we'd get much of that this year because there's not that as much snow, but we certainly have, you know, everything frozen pretty good at this point. And I guess it remains to be seen what we get, Wednesday. It's, I got a copy of the National Weather Service, briefing for the week, and, the map shows 10 to 14 inches. It's kind of a line. You can see the colors. It's kind of a line, 45 degree kind of thing. It kind of touches the edge of Lake Ontario, Ontario above Syracuse, and above it, it's whatever the next color was, you know, 8 inches or something. And below it is the purple, 10 to 14. It covers all of, except a little corner of Lewis County and everything to the south and east. So it's showing like Watertown and Jefferson and, you know, the other side of Tug Hill, so to speak, not getting as much. And then it's showing out as far as they go out, the 10 to 14, but they don't cover out into the, you know, out of Rondax. It's either, like Oneida is Binghamton, and then further east is Burlington. So, you know, but I'm assuming just based on that, you know, for their forecast area, that it's going to be pretty good dump of snow here and, you know, Old Forge and places like that.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's not like them to pull the fire alarm this early. You know, we're 2-3 days out from the heavy stuff and they're pulling the fire alarm and calling it a warning already. That's not very common. They must show it on every model because they don't normally do that.
Yeah, it's that. And then the other thing, what I always do is I just go and I look on, you know, the National Weather Service and the Weather Underground and Telecast and you know, if they all sort of agree, and then maybe I look for, let's say, Lowville, which is Buffalo, and Boonville, which is Binghamton, and of course if it's lake effect, they could be different, but you know, for these kind of storms, the difference between here and 20 miles south is not that much. And if they're really close, then you know that everybody's pretty much agreeing on the model.
Yep, well, I'm ready, I guess. Snow tires are still on the car. They don't come off for a while around here. In fact, might not even take them off if, you know, the flash light's coming up and I can use the grip out there. I don't have mud and snows, but I got, you know, they're decent for that. So, we'll see what it brings. I guess, talked to Clark a week or two ago, and they got a big plan, so they're going to go up and, you know, fix the repeater up a little bit and try to get it working a lot better. Kind of back, hopefully, at least when it was before. And maybe even put some more stuff in that we can play with. They put in a UHF repeater, we'll link the two machines together. So it would be nice to have old Forge and Blue at the same time and not have to switch back and forth.
That would work nice for the Black Fly Challenge. So, you know, I guess it partly depends on the weather and what happens, and, you know, if you can get up there, it's going to be definitely would be a hike up in May or June. And, you know, probably not possible to snowmobile up there. Although, you know, they say some of those places on that road are pretty icy. If you wait, actually, it might be possible at just the right time, late winter. That's one of the cool things about late winter. Sometimes you get a little freezing and thawing and freezing, and everything gets real hard, and you can go up pretty good. Probably need studded track on some spots. There's been years since I've walked down that road. I did it once, and I do know, you know, there's some bare rocks and stuff like that, but maybe they're going to just plan on walking up there once it dries out a little bit, but I don't know. Good luck to them if they want to get it done before, you know, in June.
Plans, and you know, you remember the first time we did it. We didn't have none of them stinking repeaters. We did the old-fashioned way, and it actually worked. So if we got to do it the same way again, we'll do it again. I hope the boys are you know, gonna volunteer again and run the finish line, and you know, we got enough bodies. We just relay the message down the line. It's good practice, man. No fancy repeaters or digital or text message, none of that stuff. We're just going to use radios and talk.
Well, I actually think that that's a really good thing to do, because that's really the, you know, when all else fails scenario, and our big thing that we kind of, you know, we kind of push is that, well, you know, all of the sheriff and the, you know, everybody this and that, they all got fancy systems and repeaters and those things break, but we don't need any of that stuff. And then, but then I see in a lot of places with, you know, the Aries groups and that and Racy's, they just end getting stuck in doing everything with handhelds and through their repeater, and it sort of defeats the purpose of really, you know, of really when all else fails. And then a lot of people get complacent, or they just don't really know much more than pushing the button, you know, and they don't have a good, you know, alternative. They don't have bigger antennas, and because they've never really been forced to do a simplex, but that's really the way to do it, you know, for practice. But then use a repeater if it's convenient, but be prepared. We used to do... back starting in, I don't know when it was, the mid-80s sometime, up into the early 90s when we really did it a big time, was communications for the Tug Hill Tourathon. And, of course, you couldn't get any repeaters. You know, some place you could get one, some place you might get another one, but there was no place you could get, everybody get the same one up in Winona Forest. And so we had people, and we had relays, and we had sometimes we had people actually that were out on a trail cross country skiing, and it worked just fine. But it was an absolutely great, you know, a practice as far as the logistics and the, you know, deploying in the sort of the most adverse conditions in, you know, January and snow and 20 miles from the nearest town and that kind of stuff.
W2JUV.
W2JUV, good evening. And 2LBT here. Dennis, go ahead and pick it up.
This is W2JUV. I wonder if I could have a couple moments here to do a quick call up for Nottie County Traffic Emergency Net.
That sounds like a good idea. We can take a break from talking about emergencies and let you do your traffic net. Seems appropriate.
Okay, thanks. This is W2JUV for Octon, Nottie County Traffic Emergency Net, looking for stations to check in.
And 5AOW, no traffic.
KD2AIT, good evening, no traffic.
KC2WI, no traffic.
November 2, Lima, Bravo, Tango, no traffic.
November 2, Whiskey, Bravo, X-ray, good evening, no traffic.
KC2MBU, good evening, no traffic.
Okay, very good. I think we got six stations there. Kept my pencil busy. November 5, Alpha Oscar Whiskey. Kilo Delta 2, Alpha India Tango. Kilo Charlie 2, Whiskey India. And November 2, Lima Bravo Tango. November 2, Whiskey Bravo X-ray. Kilo Charlie 2, November Bravo Uniform. Are there any other stations out there who would like to check in tonight with Octon? One more call for Octon, Nottie County Traffic Emergency Net. Any other stations out there this evening would like to check in? Okay, hearing none. Thanks for the use of the repeater. This is W2JUV, returning to 145.17.73.
KC2WI, you still there, Pete?
KC2WI.
KC2NBU. Wondered if you talked to Bob lately about a radio. I wondered if you've heard anything.
No, I haven't. I'll call him tomorrow if my phone starts working again. I wonder if my problems were related to whatever the other problems were. I could mostly not make calls. I couldn't even make calls locally last night, and then Dan called me this morning, and I said, hey, call me. I'm going to call you back, and I called him back, and it worked, but then a little while later, I couldn't make any calls again. So I don't know what's going on there, but I guess maybe it's all related to that cut line and stuff. I'll see if I can get a hold of him, but the answer is no, I haven't heard anything from him recently.
Okay, well, yeah, if you can get a hold of him before the meeting next week and find out what we need to do to make this happen so that we can make it happen.
I'll try sending them an email tonight. He isn't really good about replying to those, but we'll try that, and then I'll see if I can get him on the phone.
Super. KC2NBU clear.
So, Pete, I'll say good evening to you. I'm just picking up my co-pilot here, and I'm off on a trip down Albany, so catch you the next time. Nice to talk to you tonight. KC2WI and 2LBT.